On 1116 SEN, the Bush and the Burbs with Paul Daffy for ABUS, the brand chosen by security professionals. If you love it, lock it with ABUS.
And it's fair to say that if you're locking something up, it's a seven-day-a-week proposition, and so is covering local football. Thursday nights unavailable means a Monday night transplant, and Daff, you're as sprightly and ready to go on a Monday night as you are on a Thursday. I'm encouraged.
Thanks, Finny. Sprightly is perhaps going a bit far, but here I am.
Before we catch up with our normal look at the Eastern Footy League, and there was an upset in the East. When we say an upset, we previewed Norwood versus Baldwin. We spoke to Lee Williams from Norwood. It was, if not a season-defining game, then close to for the reigning premiers. It was a rematch of last year's grand final in which Norwood were facing the top of the ladder, Baldwin, from fifth. But their return to their best selves was capped off with a great win on the weekend, wasn't it?
You were right originally. It was an upset. Baldwin on top of the ladder, deservedly so, expected to see off Norwood, who we've said many times have started the season slowly, but Norwood just turned things up a notch, or several notches. I actually spoke to the president, Mark Etherington, this morning of Norwood. He said it's one of the most intense EFL games he's ever seen in his long years of association. I actually spoke to the captain, Jason Holmes, on Sunday, and he said it was one of the best wins he's ever played in. So the feeling around the club after that, after winning by, I think it was 21 points, would be very strong, and you'd think a bit of momentum would be carried through the rest of the season. Sometimes good teams just take a while to find their feet, and then they motor home.
Now, you were at Tattyun yesterday for Tattyun versus Moyston Willora. If you told me to come and watch a game at Tattyun, or go and watch a game at Tattyun, now, of course, yep, cars have GPSs and whatever, but if I took my car out of the driveway to drive to Tattyun, I wouldn't be able to get out of the street. I would have absolutely no idea what direction to go in.
Sounds good, though, doesn't it? Tattyun.
It sounds like a country town. It sounds like the sort of country town that doesn't sit on a major thoroughfare. I've got a sense you might have to take a road off a road off a road to get to Tattyun.
It is a bit like that. I emceed the WorkSafe Game of the Month. I've been doing that this season.
Yep.
And the Game of the Month this month was at Tattyun yesterday. And one of the WorkSafe girls, there's one house in the town. One of the WorkSafe girls got to the ground and said, gee, it must be a big house, because there would have been, you know, 1,000 people there.
That's great.
There was
brilliant.
People from throughout the Western District lobbed at Tattyun to, you know, the WorkSafe do a good job in putting on this lunch, and they provide, you know, they drive home the message about workplace safety, especially on farms, which is very unsafe, historically unsafe workplaces. And David Parkin was a guest speaker, and Parkin does a great job at all levels of footy. But to get there, fine, you're right. I stayed in Ararat on Saturday night. Now, you're very familiar with Ararat.
Ararat, I know. Ararat, on the way to Adelaide, no problems.
Various trips to Adelaide. So it's basically 25 k's directly south of Ararat.
Okay.
Now, you don't normally go to Ararat. And I was driving home after the game last night, and my phone ran out of power. So I didn't have the map. I thought, gee, this is like... Didn't have Google Maps. This is like the old days. So I saw a couple of old blokes, said, this might be interesting. I'll ask them for directions. And they said, you know, do you want to go on bitumen road or dirt road? And I said, bitumen. Yes, I'm right.
the coward's way.
They shook their heads and said, you know, righto, young fella. And they said, down the Streatham Road, and I've got to had to keep going until just where it was going to turn bitumen. And then when the road comes in at an angle, I had to go out there. And then another road until I eventually got to the Glen Elg Highway. So you're right, Finny. Three roads. Took two blokes to tell me which way to go. And I said, if I miss my turn off, it's your fault. And one bloke looked at the other and said, well, George would know. So George knows these things. You've come to the right
Brilliant.
Man. And it was a great day, Finny. And I must say, I had the best lunch I've ever had at a footy function. Now, I've been a lot of footy functions. This one was the best.
And now I want to go to Tattyun and have the president's lunch. What made it special? Was it the local produce?
It was the quality of the lamb. I mean, the Western District, one of the richest farming districts in Australia, and they produce amazing meat, wool, etc. It was from Tim Claridge, I think his name. Tom Claridge from Ararat Meats supplied the meat. It was local produce. And it was just like this function was in a tent. They don't even have, their club rooms aren't big enough. They don't even have, they have little club rooms where the blokes get changed. But the aftermatch functions in the Shire Hall, which is at the other end of the, behind the goals.
Oh, I'm beginning to love the notion of Teddy Ute.
There is, as I said, there's one house, and there's not 1,000 people live there. There's one family. So I said, you know, what's the population of Teddy Ute? Well, how many's drum he got? So I round the table, he's got 3. Oh, well, the population's 5. 3 kids and 2 adults, that's the population. So you look down from the tent, across the ground, there's that one house and there's a silo. So it's a very bucolic country setting. As I said, the function's normally in the Shire Hall, behind the goals. And they just set up a tent, dirt floor, packed down the dirt. Sue Knight, the president, was amazing. She had the running sheet down to the extent of there was a legends match between the reserves and the seniors for all the old blokes to run around and have a giggle for 10 minutes. On her running sheet, there was the names of the 2 water boys for the legends match, which was Richo and Wiggy. And everything. And she had, the previous night, she had her sons. She's a principal at Wallora Primary School, 4 kids, very involved in the community. The previous night, her son had his year 11 formal. She was doing the pride of Erin, thinking, well, how am I going to pull off this big footy lunch the next day? And that sort of level of community involvement. I mean, the best on ground was Sean McDougal, who's the Teddy Ute captain. And he is the great-grandson of Eddie Joyce, who in 1924 called the meeting to form the Teddy Ute Footy Club. So the lineage is direct and very strong. But I'm getting away from the lunch. The lamb was, so at the back of this tent, set up especially for the occasion, they've set up another little tent and they've just got all the cooking material, and they set it up on Saturday evening, started cooking on Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning. 130 people, all served the finest footy lunch you could imagine. Lamb, mashed potato done just so.
Mashed potato, oh wow.
And an amazing pepper sauce. And then we come back at half time, sticky date pudding with a butternut sauce. Just get the ladle over the buns.
Get me to Teddy Ute next year.
And they're a good footy club. They have one silo, one house, and they're in the grand final almost every year in the Mininere and District League. They've had various jumpers over the years. Gold with the maroon sash, green with the maroon sash. Unfortunately, they went to Hawthorn in 1983. I don't know why you would do that.
Yep.
But they still play off every year. Last year, they lost unexpectedly to Moyston Wallora. And in the grand final rematch on Sunday, they tailed up Moyston Wallora, winning by 58 points.
So do their players come from the area, or do they?
Yeah, good question.
Melbourne-based? Where do they get their team? Because it can't all be the drums. There's only 5 of them, and at least one of them's mum.
Exactly. I don't know whether they're 3 sons or 3 daughters. It probably doesn't matter. Historically, everyone, farmers from the district. And of course, that's not the case now. You'd only have, most of these teams only have half a dozen, maybe 8 or 10 local farmers. The rest come from, I'd say half a dozen would see it out, to be honest. Ararat, Geelong, a few come up from Melbourne who are originally from there. They come home on the weekends. But from the regional towns and a few up from Melbourne. So that's and most clubs in country Victoria now have, most of their players would be based in regional towns and they travel out for the day. But along those lines, I was talking to Lockie Patterson, who's the AFL Vic Country Western District representative. And he tells a story. There's a fellow, John Box. Now, down the road, I mentioned the Streatham Road before. Streatham is part of SMW Rovers. So that's Strathmere. Streatham SM, Mininere, Westmere Rovers. The whole team was formed by farmers who lived along the one road at one stage. And now, you know, they've got, you know, one farming family who play for the club. So that's how things have changed over the years. But most teams do have players who are connected. Like, there's a lot of everyone who played at Teddy Ute would have had a connection in some way, even if they don't live in the town now. It was great.
What's John Rantel's connection?
Yeah, well, John, they just asked him if he wanted to go. So he's moved back to Victoria after 20 or 25 years in northern Queensland. And I don't know. John just must be re-immersing himself back in footy in Victoria. And he's a friend of David Parkins. And so John came up. I introduced John. I said, you know, John, you once held the game's record hold. You were once the game's record hold with 336 games. That's hopeless. Look at it now. You are 70 behind. You are 80 behind. And he sort of laughed and acknowledged the crowd. He's a very humble man. In very good nick for his age, too. He must be, what, 70? 65?
65.
65, 70, yeah. So he was great. But one of the highlights, apart from the lunch and meeting, having on the guest list Rich Bibby, Tatty Yoon Cropping Committee. They actually have a committee devoted to cropping.
There was a Bibby who played for St Kilda, Robert Bibby.
They're actually a famous footy family from the Wimmera and Western
Robert
District.
Robert Bibby played for the Saints.
Where's he from, do you know?
He was recruited from South Melbourne Tech, but where he was from originally, I cannot tell you.
Okay. Now, I enjoyed, and they had one of the sponsors was Pierce Shearing, Roger Pierce, donates some of his earnings towards the footy club. But just even on the footy side of things, there was a full forward, an old-fashioned full forward for Tatty Yoon, Steve Butler.
John Rantel is 72 this year.
Well, he looks an amazing dick.
Wow, 72. There you go.
Steve Butler would use his body one-on-one against the fullback, hold him out. None of this. One of my biggest bugbear in footy at the moment is the fact that forwards can use their hands in the back of the defender. And when we were growing up...
Well, they can't really. They're not supposed to.
Well, they can. They're allowed to, as long as there's no forward motion.
Yeah, yeah.
This bogus business about defining what's a forward motion and what's not.
Yep.
None of that cape with Steve Butler. Use your body, your hips and your side, edge out and your forearms and edge out the guy, take the mark. So he did that, went back and kicked five. So he put his team on the roads of victory. Zach Lauder kicked six. And Western Lawler actually knocked Tatty Yoon off in the grand final last year, but Tatty Yoon looked far too good on Sunday, which was a perfect condition. Still, wasn't very sunny. It was sunny. It was a good day all around.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, get a more comprehensive look at the Eastern Footy League on the weekend. The Ammos, I saw some interesting results there, and there's also a very big game for my Mondas coming up against Q next week. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to visit the Rushworth Football Club with Travis Perry. Where's Travis Perry and Rushworth come into the equation?
Tavis Perry. It's an unusual name. But
My mistake, it is Tavis Perry.
I called Tavis Travis first as well, but Tavis is from a very formidable family in Rushworth, long association with the club. Tavis and his three brothers came back to play for Rushworth, and after being beaten by 279 points last week by Avenel, they've defeated Longwood by 78 points. So that's a 357-point turnaround, and there were quite some scenes amongst the Rushworth players and supporters after the match.
When we come back, Eastern Footy League, and then the biggest turnaround in footy I've ever heard, the Rushworth story. Welcome back to Bush and the Burbs. Thanks to Apis, the number one name in locks in this country, as it has been in Europe since 1924. Locks, you say, that covers a big range of products. Yes, it does with Apis. From industrial locks, the type that keep thieves out of valuable installations, the type that keep things like fences and gates secure, right through to the personal padlocks that a youngster might want on their school bag or rucksack, colour coded and up to date and trendy. So whether it's looking right or locking right, Apis is the only choice. And I've said it before, if your trusted locksmith doesn't give you Apis as first choice in locks, then that trust is misplaced. In a moment, Wayne Brasher from the EFL. Great SMS just received. G'day, guys. Watch St. Kevin's defeat Parkdale by 149 points on Saturday. I'm sure Half would have liked to see you there. I bet he would have. I was umpiring. Interesting to note, St. Kevin's Old Boys had five players with VFL experience playing in the reserves on Saturday, including Josh Wallace, son of Steve, James Stewart, son of John Platton.
That's right, yeah.
Jimmy Stewart. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. They also have Luke Andrews, ex-Box Hill Hawks Rover, who will play from round 14. Also, Warren Treadray was a keen onlooker, watching his mates Steve Gillam and Stephen Salopek. The rumour is he'll play some games in the second half of the season. Well, that'll be great fun for those teams that already can't keep pace with St. Kevin's, who are tearaway leaders in B grade or Division 2 in the VAFA, and years of disappointment missing out on promotion looked to be behind them in 2015, Daff.
This really, I mean, I spoke to Paul Murphy on the podcast. He's the president. So Kevin's lost 6 of the last 8 preliminary finals in B grade, so always around the mark, yep. Never getting there. So clearly they've just going all out this year. They're very intent on winning the flag, but it's rare in the MOs to get such a dominant team because of the promotion and relegation system. It sort of mitigates against that domination, yep. Or hopelessness, sort of flattens things out and sends everyone towards the middle. This is a rarely dominant season by St. Kevin's. They're undefeated. They've got massive, I think they're 3 games clear of the second team, which is St. Bede's, who beat Old Brighton on the weekend. Actually.
Yeah, there's a bit of a logjam behind them, but...
But it's a rare dominance, yeah.
In D1, there's a big game this weekend. It's rare to get to 9 games in the season and still have 2 undefeated teams, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's Ormond versus Q. Ormond, of course, close to your hearts, Fonny. So nine zip they are. Now, there's 10 teams. Why haven't they played each other?
Well, they play them apparently twice in 4 or 5 weeks, so it's right. Like an AFL fixture. But they've had some cruel luck in a really odd story.
Who's that?
Ormond. Their club champion has returned this year from playing in the bush, Diggsy Kelleher. Diggs played in the bush because he married a country girl, and even though they were, I think, living in Melbourne, she was from this near Echuca somewhere, and the team that he played for, in the time he was there, won 2 or maybe 3 flags. So he was away for 3 years. He's returned after winning multiple competition best and fairest in the VAFA.
Is he?
Isaac Champ. And was having a very good year. He's just this rock in defence, impassable. Now, there was a bit of a club tragedy with the passing of either a player or an official's or a coach's wife from his country club. So 15 players who'd played with them previously went back on the bye weekend to play for this country team. And they had their first win of the season. Without a lot of their players, they'd plummeted down back to the bottom of the ladder. Unfortunately for Diggsy, in the last minute of play, he's suffered, I think, a broken ankle or a severe ankle injury, and he's out for 10 weeks.
Right. This business is going to play one-off matches, which is an increasing phenomenon. So yeah. There are costs sometimes. Yeah. Would it be bought?
No. It begins with L.
Lockington, Bemorm United.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Lockington, sounds right.
Dairy Farmers from south of Echuca.
Yep. Yeah, that's right, Lockington.
Cheryl McMahon's from there, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
There you go. And your betting is for Ormond, apparently not too far away from seeing the debut of Mal Michael, who's...
But my God, I mean...
Convalesced after a knee injury. His story's a great story.
He's coming out of retirement as well.
Well, it as a promise kept made to his father, who played for Ormond, Mal's dad,
really?
And asked him when he finished his career, would he play for Ormond? And Mal, not uninvited, but without being sought after, turned up at the club pre-season and asked to play a game. He's had to have a knee scrape, so he's missed the first half of the year, but he's not far away.
How old is he now? He must be 40.
Yeah, about 40.
Okay. Well, that's a big game, because Q, they're two proud traditional clubs who've fallen on hard times
the
last 20 years, and now they're both firing. So it'll be interesting to see. In Premier, top of the table clash in A grade too, finally. St Bernard's v Old Trinity, the top two clubs, so there's a big match as well. St Bernard's beat Uni Blacks by 79 points.
Things are topsy-turvy in that grade.
Bloody oath, though.
Old Carey's a bolter's chance as well.
They defeated Collegians by 39 points, so Collegians were the form team. So Cam Howard best on ground, so yeah, Carey had been very up and down in previous weeks, but they had a good win there.
Let's catch up with Wayne Brasher from the EFL media team. Good evening, Wayne.
Good evening, Mark. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, and thanks for making yourself available on a Monday. And as we look forward to the weekend's football in Division 1, Blackburn and Montrose, crucial game for both sides. They're 2 games out of the top 5, and you'd think that for the loser, finals will be a bridge too far in 2015.
Yeah, it is funny. You know, for Blackburn this year, they've started off the season with key injuries to senior players. But over recent times, players such as the ilk of Ben Fraser, Paul Bunn and Sam McCauley have made their way back into the lineup in recent weeks and are starting to lead the fine form and lead the Burners to a late-season charge. Whilst for Montrose, they had a massive win last week by 160 points against an undermanned Knox, with key forward Billy Schilling kicking 11 goals. Captain coach Brett Johnson would also be really optimistic about his side's opportunity of playing a say in this year's finals, because he's been buoyed by the return of his key ruckman and Chandler medalist Andrew Haining, who's been ably assisted by Oscar McInerney throughout the season. And I can see that Montrose on ball and midfield lineup should benefit from this.
Division 2, Wayne. Battle for the top spot.
Yeah, great game in store for our listeners this weekend, as it's our EFL game day, match of the day, as we love it local here in the EFL for our football. Croydon had a comfortable win by 66 points last weekend over Bayswater, with a seasoned campaigner Brad Kelleher amongst the goals for a second week in a row with six. With injuries to key forward Brendan Wynett, his experience and guy will be proving valuable in forthcoming weeks. For Doncaster, they haven't put a foot wrong either. The inclusion of Nathan Thompson into the forward line has added more potency and dimension. Steve Muller and Chris Anarkis once again are proven goal kickers, and Jaden Cooper's having a great season for the Sharks. But also, we can't underestimate the contributions that Ben Johnson and Heath Scotland bring to the table.
Division 3, Wayne, two more teams on the rise. How far can they go? Can they challenge for top spot?
Yeah, well, both sides are sitting comfortably in the top four at the moment. Templestowe also have had their fair share of injuries towards the start of the season, but are starting to now put it all together. Their Mariani boys, Anthony and Matt, are having good seasons as well. The brothers, Ryan and Matt. The return of proven goal kicker Simon Grasser provides Templestowe with a focal point, and Alex Wadsworth also provides a great versatility to the side, whether it be down, back or forward. Whilst for Upper Gully, they've been very workmanlike and have been consistent without the fanfare of the top two sides. Unfortunately, Mitcham and Bayswater have taken their scalp so far. Upper will rely on the goal-kicking prowess of Matt Petrarca, who with 34 goals is really enjoying his football, added with the experienced hands of Tate Hickleton, Tim Risley and Brad Carroll, who know how to get the job done with the experience that they've had in this division.
Let's go to Division 4, and Glen Waverley Hawks have been able to survive coming up against Fev, five in a row, but if Fev was handleable, Warrandyte is going to be a far greater challenge because they're atop the table and clearly look the team to beat.
Oh, they are fine. The Glen Waverley Hawks probably come up against Warrandyte, probably the best they've ever been in, full of confidence in good form. Captain Luke Dunn has led from the front, ably assisted by Luke Broad and Gavin Cruz. The Hawks have worked hard for each other as a team for most of the season, and this is really reflected in their results. Every weekend there's a good spread of goal kickers and a very consistent performance group amongst the players. That being said, their biggest asset test as they take on a Warrandyte outfit who have been the clear benchmark of this division so far, who have suffered one little blemish against finals aspirant Coldstream. Ash Roud and Luke Dunn are formidable duo in the forward line, but they also have other goal-scoring options with the likes of Arthur Lamaris, Trent Scorsese, James Appenley and Kyle Sultana, just to name a few. There are many good players over most lines, and they are currently ranked the number one side in offence and defence, and by considerable margin.
Four big games. Well
They're
worth...
all big games.
Well worth previewing. Can't wait for the review next Monday night. Thanks a lot, Wayne.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mark.
Don't know who Mike is. Maybe he's thanking my mic that I speak into. Daff, we're going to take a break. Good to see Kevin Sultana raising the bar there as well.
Was it?
Sultana raising the bar? Oh. Pathetic gag.
I was distracted for you.
Probably spared you the pain. Tavis Perry, Rushworth Football Club. How you go from losing by 279 to winning by 78? Need some explaining, and we'll get that explanation and a bit of the Rushworth Footy Club story when we return from the break. Welcome back to Bush and the Burbs. Now, I don't know what happens at training during the week when you get beaten by see how my arithmetic is. Just shy of 50 goals. 46, 47 goals. But whatever was done, and the psychology on the players, and maybe some hasty recruiting, worked a wonder at Rushworth Football Club, did it not, Paul Daffy?
It did, finally. Rushworth battling in the Kaya Redmond District League, but they've turned around. I think there's quite a story to the turnaround. So
it's quite a story to the game, because apparently the two teams didn't just go at it. There was disharmony amongst the umpiring ranks as well. Tavis Perry joins us from the Rushworth Football Club. Good evening, Tavis.
How are you both? I'm very well.
A divisive game, and Paul told me something during the break that, as an umpire, not only do I believe, I've almost come close to emulating myself. Apparently the two umpires had a disagreement of sorts at some point during the third quarter, and it reverted back to a one umpire system in the last quarter.
That's exactly what happened. I was actually standing there at the time in the third quarter when one of the umpires called the advantage and the other umpire didn't hear him. And anyway, they were both blowing their whistles at each other, and it got a little bit heated on the field. And at three-quarter time, both the teams were walking to their huddle. And in the middle, the two umpires were having a bit of a stoush in the middle of the oval. And one of them jumped the fence and got in his car and went home. So we were an umpire down the last quarter. But the ironic thing was, my dad, who was watching the game, said that they actually didn't pay a free kick or blow the ball up for the entire first quarter.
What?
So they, they were letting the play go. And
so you had no umpires in the first quarter.
And only one in the last.
Two in the second, two in the third, and then a sort of a title bout at three-quarter time, and the winner stayed on and the loser left.
Yeah. You couldn't make it up. It was fantastic. That added to the spectacle of the day.
And all of that as a backdrop to a 350-plus point turnaround.
Yeah, 357-point turnaround.
So tell us how it happened, Tavis.
Good question. Obviously, Rushworth's been struggling this year, and my brothers and I all grew up at the club and loved the club. And about 4 weeks ago, we decided that we'd come out of retirement for one last roll of the dice and see if we could help get the team up over Longwood. Have also been struggling this year. And fortunately, we got the cake, got the cookies, and ended up beating them by 80 points in the end.
So four Perry brothers all come out of retirement?
Well, actually, the best of us, who's the youngest, who's playing at Rochester at the moment. Rochester had the bye, and we were trying our best to convince him to play for the best part of 4 weeks, and he decided not to in the end. So it was just the three of us come out of retirement, and he helped in the coach's box.
Okay.
So how old are you, Tavis?
35.
And the brothers that played?
Yeah, so Clinton is 38. And he's been retired for a couple of years, and the other brother's Jed, who's 30.
So three blokes in their 30s. were there other recruits? Because I don't know how good the Perrys are, but that's a 300.
Are you worth 357 points?
60, that's 60 goals. That's 60 goals worth of Perry.
Well, no, we wouldn't think so, but. Yeah, I believe we were sort of the only recruits, and
well, obviously Longwood have been struggling as well, so
they have.
This was a winnable game.
Yep.
How many people came down? Given that this was sort of a game that would have been marked out by both clubs as a winning opportunity, was there a fair crowd to witness the unusual goings on?
Yeah, it was actually. I was pretty surprised with the size of the crowd. It actually got spoken about quite a bit. I don't have exact figures, but certainly everyone was pretty impressed with the size of the crowd. For a country game of footy against two of the worst sides going around, it was pretty impressive, really.
So how many members of the Perry family were there, given that three members of the family had come out of retirement?
Yeah, we're from a pretty big family, so there's six kids in our family. We've all got partners and got kids. So we added up, we reckon it was around 50 Perrys that were watching the game.
50 Perrys?
Yeah.
Do they all live nearby or they come over? Actually, Tavis, this is a point. You've been living in Darwin. Where do you live now?
No, I still live in Darwin.
So you flew down for it?
Yeah. So I had some time off work, and yeah, flew down pretty much just for the match, or mainly for the match.
50 Perrys. What's the collective name for a group of Perrys?
I'm not really sure.
Is it
a Rushworth of Perrys?
A Rushworth of Perrys. Is it a I guess it could be a
mob, I suppose.
Well, it is a mob, but are they drinkers? Are they partiers? Are they as a group? Are you sort of serious? Are you fun loving?
We're pretty fun loving. Been known to. Not so much myself, but certainly most of the Perrys are pretty known for their fondness of the amber ale. So
it's a back bar of Perrys.
Yeah, they went down pretty well, I tell you. I reckon within about half an hour after the game, pretty much all the Perrys that were there would have downed at least four or five.
Now, you do know what Perry is in terms of the alcoholic drink?
No.
Perry is the name given to pear cider. So apple cider... cider, but Perry is actually pear cider.
I didn't know that either.
There's a little aside for you, Tavis.
If you like your alcoholic completely flavourless, then it has very little flavour. It's actually quite unobtrusive. It's a good mixer. Tavis, that's also an interesting name. Was that a spelling error, or is that did somebody forget to put the R in, or is that a sort of long-standing family name?
No, it actually means son of David, and my dad's name's David. And in the particular book that my mum was looking up names, she just happened to stumble across it and liked it, and it had some kind of meaning, so she chose it.
Well, I quick look at the screen at the top of the program, and I said Travis, and I imagine that's an error that others have made.
Every single day of my life.
Okay, well, that's a regular error. On a more serious note, Tavis.
Yeah.
I said to Daft during the break, being a collector of footy memorabilia, I've seen Rushworth Football Club memorabilia going back to the 1800s, and he informed me you're a 135-year-old club, which is an enormously long and, I would imagine, proud history that is coming under some duress, as many country clubs face the real prospect in 2015 of having to really work hard to field teams. What's the future hold for Rushworth Footy Club?
Yeah, look, it's pretty bleak. You know, they did really, really well to get the club up and going this year. There was a lot of concern that the club was going to fold. This year, we still don't have an under-18 side, and our seniors and reserves have both won their first game of the year on the weekend. And even though we won by 80 points, the percentage of the seniors I looked at today is still only 25. So they're obviously consistently getting smashed each week, same as the reserves. And, you know, I think it's a credit to a lot of the volunteers and people that keep, you know, putting in an enormous amount of their time when the results aren't forthcoming on the field.
Tavis, is there a prospective merger which might help to shore things up?
Oh, look, I'm not really sure. I haven't heard of any talk of a merger. I do know that I think it's our under 12s this year have around 50 players.
Oh, that's
so there is some kind of hope. Yeah, I think they're
not all Perrys, are they?
I think they're combined. I think with Gary and Stanhope, they sort of they're called the Giants. It's not actually the Rushworth only side, but certainly it's heartening that there are some junior players filtering through. But not having an under 18s is going to hurt. That's sort of the beauty of the victory on the weekend. It sort of really sparked the place up, and hopefully they can have some kind of momentum and build towards next year.
Well, they can't rely on getting their players out of Darwin, and I've just received an SMS noting that you played with St Mary's in the Northern Territory, which is a very good football team in a strong competition. So I think we probably skirted around many issues, but not your football ability, which... I don't know how it is at 35, but I'm sure at your prime, you're a very good footballer. Tavis, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and more power to Rushworth, 135 years old, and with Perrys and other passionate people, and with that big number of under-12s, they just need to hang tough maybe for a couple of years, and better times are ahead. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tavis.
We had to get a Perry. There were 50 at the game playing and watching. You couldn't but miss. Daff, that was a Monday night success, I reckon.
It was great. Thanks, Finny.
We want to thank Abus, the number one name in locks.